You have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 14. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 14, we're going to be looking at verse 1 this morning as we talk about the three fools. The three fools. Psalm 14. That went too far. Pages are sticking together. Verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. This morning I want to talk about the three fools. The first one, of course, is the unbelieving fool. I hope we don't have any of those in the church today. The unbelieving fool says, well, I just don't know if I can swallow that or not. We've all talked to them. They've said things like, well, how do you know that your religion is right? What if Muhammad is the way? They don't really care that Muhammad's the way, or they would be in Islam. They would be a Muslim. They just argue the way because they are the unbelieving fool. Now, God told us in the Bible not to call any man a fool, or you would be in danger of hellfire. I'm not calling him a fool. God called him a fool in his word. He said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This is where it comes from. It comes from the heart. We know that faith in Christ comes from the heart. From the heart we believe, with the mouth we confess, and we're saved. And this is the same place that the unbelieving fool comes from. It comes from his heart. He said in his heart, there is no God. Down deep on the inside, something affected his life in such a way, be it his childhood, his upbringing, his view of the world, his philosophy. He came to the place where in his heart he said, there is no God. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. They are discerned by the Spirit. The Spirit and the heart are so close together. They're not one, but they are very close. That's why with the heart we believe, and with the heart we deny. And this first fool that we're not going to spend a lot of time on has said in his heart, there is no God. There's many history of people who have felt this way. They've mocked and ridiculed the Bible and God, and they die, and they go to hell. They're there today. Hell is full of fools. Can I say that again? Hell is full of fools. There is not one person there who was foolish enough, or wise enough, I should say, to not be there. The second fool is the unprepared fool. If you will flip your Bible over to the New Testament, to Luke 12, I didn't write down many of these verses. We'll just look at them together, so we'll just do a little Bible flipping today. Luke chapter 12. Verse 16 is where we're going to start reading. Luke 12, verse 16. Jesus is speaking a parable to them, and he says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? And so he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will be there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." The first fool was the unbelieving fool. The second fool is the unaware fool. He's unaware of his surroundings. He's unaware of the day of his death. He's unaware that he's going to give an account. He's only living in the natural. He's only living for today. He believes he's got it made now. He's got a little ahead. He doesn't worry about what the future will bring. He is totally unaware. Totally unaware. Now flip back to back to Matthew 25, passage that we're all familiar with. Matthew 25 is the story of the 10 virgins. They too are an example of the unaware fool. In Matthew 25, we read that the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us, but go rather to those that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And so in this second example of the unaware fool, we see two foolish people. First, the man who is living for today, who thinks he doesn't need to worry about tomorrow, and then he finds that he dies and faces God, and he's unaware. There's also the 5 foolish virgins who apparently had a knowledge of God but weren't ready. They let the oil of the Holy Spirit run out. They failed to keep their vessel full of oil. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that's within you. You know, we all have that gift once we get saved, but we can let it run out. We can let it stagnate. We have a responsibility to maintain what God has given us. We need to stay in the Word. We need to stay in prayer. We need to repent of sins. We need to keep the oil of the Holy Spirit in us and not quench it. And so these second foolish group of people were the ones that were unaware. Unaware that they were going to die. Unaware that the Lord was coming that night. And their vessel was empty when the Lord came. It's a sad state to be in, isn't it? There is the other example, which I do have the verse. You don't need to turn there unless you want to. It's Acts 24:25, as Paul is brought before the governor Felix. And it says, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for you.'" And us meddling preachers want to remind people that it will never be convenient for you to come to Christ. Today is the day of salvation. It won't ever be convenient for you to repent of that secret sin. Today is the day of salvation. It'll never be convenient for you to let go of those things that God has put his finger on. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't be an unaware fool. Amen. The third in this trio of fools, the unbelieving, the unprepared, I think I got ahead of myself. The third is the unaware fool. Flip back again with Matthew chapter 7 with me. The unbelieving, the unprepared, and finally, the unaware fool. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin reading at verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him as a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You know, I have talked to people before who have had some personal problems in their life, and they say the question, if God loves me, why am I going through this? I want you to notice that it really doesn't matter which of these two people in this story. Both of them have rain descending and floods coming and winds blowing on their house. We're going to have some rough times. Being a Christian doesn't mean you won't have wind. Being a Christian doesn't mean you won't have floods. Being a Christian doesn't mean the rain won't fall on you and cause problems in your life. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, Jesus went on to say, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descends, and the floods come, and the winds blow, and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. And so this third category, number one, the unbelieving fool, number two, the unprepared fool, number three, the unaware fool, is unaware that the things that they are trusting is shifting sand. The things that they are trusting in has no foundation. The things or the people or the occupation or whatever it is they're trusting in can't be trusted. Amen? A few weeks ago, Carolyn and I went and saw a movie in Muskogee. It was a decent movie. It was a funny movie. It was called Going in Style. It starred Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, Alan Arkin, and a much older Anne Margaret than I had seen her last. And in this story, these three older men who are friends, who've worked at this factory their whole life, find out that the company was having issues, and they ended up selling a portion of the company to an overseas firm, and the pension that they were expecting was gone. Michael Caine gets a notice from his bank that says they're going to repossess his house. House he's lived in all his life. A house that he had before his wife died, that her and him had fond times together. And they go to the meeting at the factory, and they say, how can you do this? And the people don't care. It's just business. But we were counting on that pension. Now, I'm not condoning what the men do in the story. They decide they're going to rob the bank that's repossessing their home. And they practice in a grocery store. You know, here are these geriatric men who can barely walk, think somehow they're going to rob a bank, and I won't tell you what happens, but the point is, they trusted in their pension, and it was gone. That pension was not built on a rock, it was built on sand. We hear today that many of us baby boomers, or whatever you want to call us, may not have Social Security when we get to retirement age. We also look to our government to supply, and our government is billions of dollars in debt. Many of us have a job or a security of some kind that we're trusting in, and yet the Bible says they're all sand. And then if we want to meddle a little deeper, we can look at relationships. Marriages maybe that have lasted decades can end. I know that firsthand. Jobs can end. Health. You think, well, at least I have my health, and then you get a word from the doctor. I've never had to hear those words, cancer or something terminal, but I can only put myself in the place of someone who does and feel what they must feel at that time, when they thought everything was going to be all right, when they imagined they would live to a ripe old age. And so we see that though all of us as Christians probably don't fall into the first category of the unbelieving fool, and I would hope that we don't fall into the second category as the unprepared fool. But if we're not careful, many of us can fall in the third category as the unaware fool. Unaware that somehow along life's way, we put our faith and trust in people or money or things, and God has said, it's all sand. I think of my daughter Kaylee, who for 9 months carried a child, never knowing that she would not have that child after it was born. I think of her being at the light in Fort Gibson and not knowing a second later she's going to be rear-ended, which could have been so much worse. I could have got a call, your daughter's gone. You could get those calls. Your husband's gone. The point is, there is only one foundation that will last. The Lord said, I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. And so, if we are to take inventory, even of the things that we see as being wonderful, things that warm us and comfort us, family and friends and security and houses and money, if we are to be totally honest and not be foolish, we must look around us and see that, no, I don't really live in this area of town, or I don't live in this country. I live in a desert. My life is a Sahara desert because everything around me is really shifting sand. And we think of that great old hymn, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And if I don't recognize that every day of my life, if I find myself putting my faith in man or money or my health, then I am just as much a fool as all of the rest. Because one day, it's all going to be gone. We are living for one reason only, and that is to see Jesus and hear Him say, well done. Amen. So these three fools do have something in common. They are delusional. When you think of delusional, you think of someone that's crazy. The definition of delusional is holding on to a belief or impression that is contradicted by reality or rational argument. Now, when I talk to people about God, they think I'm the delusional one because I'm holding on to an impression that is contradictory to their reality. But we understand that that which is seen is temporal, but that which is not seen is eternal. So who is the delusional one? But I like that second part of the definition of delusional, and not only holding on to belief of impressions that are contradictory to reality, it says, or rational arguments. Rational arguments. Rick and I went and saw a movie this week. You think I was a movie review today, huh? And in the movie, it was based on a true story of a guy who was the editor of, was it Chicago Tribune? I think one of those papers. And his wife gets saved, becomes a Christian. He's an atheist, one of those fools that we talked about. And he becomes angry at his wife. Their marriage begins to suffer. He throws things. He begins to drink. He's angry with her. How could you do this to me? And he thinks she's delusional. He thinks she's been brainwashed. And so finally he decides he's going to disprove this delusional, deranged wife of his. And he begins to apply his journalistic skills. He says these 500 people that saw Christ were somehow massively under hypnosis. So he drives a great distance, I think it's Wisconsin, to see this woman who wrote a book who's an expert in psychology, and she tells him, you cannot massively hypnotize 500 people. It's not possible. And then he decides that Christ didn't really die on the cross, that was it. He was just injured, and so he never really died. So he flies all the way to California and interviews this medical doctor who's an expert in the field, and And he goes through all the details of the Bible's account of Christ's suffering and explains to him why he not only died, but he died asphyxiated from his own blood because of all of these details. And with every investigation, his lack of faith is shattered until finally, you guessed it, he surrenders to Jesus Christ and is today a pastor in Houston, Texas. Fools do get wise. Amen. I think about the life of Joseph. Joseph from the book of Genesis. He had a family. He had brothers. He had a father. He had a mother. He knew they didn't like him, but he was probably didn't think they hated him as bad as they really did. And one day they threw him in a pit. And he could hear them talking. I think they're talking about killing me. That'll wake someone up, wouldn't it? Talk about shifting sand. Finally, his brother Judah said, no, don't kill him, sell him. And so he was sold to Egypt. One minute he has a home. He has a family. And now it's gone. Shifting sand. He gets to Egypt. He finds a job. He's used as a servant in Potiphar's house, a high-ranking dignitary within Egypt. God blesses everything he does. He's put in charge of all of Potiphar's house. And he's finally starting to feel secure again, if you can feel secure with what he's went through. And then it turns out even that was sinking sand as Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. And he ends up in jail. Well, so much for that. Then he's in prison. He interprets two guys' dreams. One of them's going to get out. He says, man, I've got a bad rap. I shouldn't even be here. I'm innocent. Will you tell Pharaoh? He waits a week, 2 weeks, a month. Over a year later, still no word. So much for that hope. All ground is sinking sand. But Joseph had something that many people don't have. He had a foundation. Wait, I don't think you heard me this morning. I said he had a foundation in God, the living God, who though family and friends and job let him down, he knew a God that he could stand on. Stand on his word. It was a rock that could not be moved. He was a rock that could not be shaken. Though other men might shake their foundation, this God he served was unshakable and unmovable. And he held on to his faith when all other ground was sinking sand. And the day came. In one day, when Joseph was elevated from a prison to a palace. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. And one day you and I, if we hold on to the God we serve, if we do not be weary in well-doing, in due season we will reap if we faint not. Because our God is a mighty rock. And he cannot be moved. Hallelujah. And so, whatever you may be going through this morning, no matter how many people have let you down, no matter how many tears you've cried, no matter how much heartache you felt, I have good news. There is coming a day, like Joseph, when you will be elevated from this mortal clay to his immortal kingdom. And that's the foundation that we have in Christ. Amen. And so, where do I go from here, Brother Roger? I have to begin to rethink my perspective. Amen. I have to begin to recognize that I don't want to be like those men who trusted in their pension and found that it wasn't there. I don't want to be that foolish. I don't want to be like those people who trusted in their job and found out that their boss didn't have a problem letting them go, not caring where they were, how they were going to pay their rent or mortgage or feed their family. I don't want to be that foolish. I don't want to be so foolish that I trust in relationships that are as shifting as sand. I don't want to be that foolish. I don't want to recognize the fact that my kids will always be there. My parents will always be there. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Come on up, Nola. Hallelujah. Flip with me back to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, just before Matthew. Hallelujah. Or as Chuck Misler calls it, Malachi, right? The Italian book, he says. If you have not underlined this or highlighted it in your Bible, I really think you should. Because this is the verse that will carry you through the winds and the storms of life. I quoted it earlier, Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord. I do not change. Hallelujah. Can we say that together? For I am the Lord. I do not change. One more time. For I am the Lord. I do not change. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. This morning, all of the ground is sinking sand. Can we do that one? Do you have it with me?
We need the book. I need to see. I don't have my music with me.
Find that in the book. We just sang it this last week, right? Do you remember what number that was? 241?
I don't know, and I need a book.
Okay. Somebody get Nola a book.
Somebody please.
We'll get her a book. We'll get her a book.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I shouldn't let her.
Brother Bobby, can you find that real quick?
I think it was 172.
Oh, was it? I don't know why I had 241, 170.
I don't know what it was.
I know somebody will find it. I'm finishing early. We got time.
It's called The Solid Rock. That's, if you're looking it up in the
index.
Yeah. It's The Solid Rock.
120. Number 120.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Bobby. there it is.
Awesome. Thank you, Bobby. Come on up, Bob. Hallelujah. Before we sing this, I want to pray. Let's all bow our heads. Lord, we never know from day to day what challenges each of us face. The winds of adversity blow hard on our house. The devil loves to bring conflict, strife, discouragement, and pain. You made no promises for the Christian or the non-Christian that there would not be rain or wind on our house. The only promise you made is that the house on the rock will stand. And so, Lord, we pray this morning for anyone who may be going through a storm right now in their life, that you would help them recognize that there is only one foundation. And as Christians, we know that, but it's so easy to get our eyes on people or things and think that somehow they're going to carry us through, when in reality, only one will. So help us, Lord, to repent of any idolatry as we trusted in man or things, and to get our eyes on you, our sure foundation. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing it with us.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly turn on Jesus' name.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the
solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
His oath is covenant, his blood support me in his whelming flood. When all around his soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, fall blessed to stand throne.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Aren't you glad we have a sure foundation? Amen. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Praise the Lord. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a hug before you go.